You don't have to keep jumping around the dial all day.
Start your morning with Pensacola Morning News, weekdays 5 to 9. Stick around for Pep Talk with Meg from 9 to 11. Then it's MVR from 11 till 2, Hughes Hewitt from 2 to 4, and Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin from 4 to 7. One station,
one day,
everything you need to know. News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Tab 1, SB 218 on land use regulations by Senator Gates.
Mr. Chairman, last session the legislature passed Senate Bill 180, which was designed to help communities recover from Hurricanes Debbie, Helene, and Milton. That bill ensured that property owners damaged by those hurricanes would be able to rebuild and not be slowed down or restricted by local government moratoria or zoning rules.
I am so glad that Don Gates is doing this bill in the Senate, SB 180, to fix, SB 218 to fix what was done last year with 180. Man, horrible, rough bill. Not bad intended. Okay, I think a lot of times in talking about SB 180, we hear only the bad side, and it's true. It's been really bad. Essentially, what it said was you cannot make burdensome or more burdensome rules about building and development and land use. They have to be basically what they were before, and anything that you add a burden to is going to be not allowed. And the reason, and I appreciate Don Gates explaining this, is because in counties that were affected by hurricanes, you want to allow them to rebuild what they had before. And if you have more burdensome building codes, the burdensome building codes would make it so you couldn't rebuild what you had before, or you would have to rebuild it differently. Not only is that more expensive, but also that runs into the problem of, you know, if you rebuild something differently, then FEMA may not cover it or won't cover it. So I get why it was done. The problem is it was done under the auspices of in those counties that got hit by hurricanes, in order to protect homeowners in their rebuilding process. But it applied to everybody who had had an emergency declaration. And if you've lived here for long enough, you know that when there's a hurricane in, say, you know, Miami, or even in, you know, the Big Bend, we've had a couple of those, which is a little bit unusual, or even up like Jacksonville area or whatever, what happens most of the time is they declare states of emergency for the counties affected, but they throw all of us in. And so, you know, we haven't seen a hurricane since Sally, here in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties, but we got named in the emergency declarations. And because we got named in the emergency declarations, that's what swept us in to the affected counties by SB 180, even though we had no emergency here. We had no problem here. And so we had the limits, and it doesn't make sense why they would apply to us. And that's what they're trying to fix, is trying to make it so we can actually implement change. Like, you know, Santa Rosa County went through this whole land development code rewrite. And one of the worries was, well, if we do something that, you know, makes it harder to build things, that's going to get challenged in law in a court. And the builders are going to win because this thing restricts what we're able to do.
Senate Bill 180 applied to every county in Florida in one way or another, those that were affected by the storms as well as those that we know were not affected at all. Senate Bill 218 maintains all of the provisions of Senate Bill 180 in all of the counties who sustained hurricane damage, but it exempts from Senate Bill 180 those counties which had no hurricane damage and therefore did not qualify for or receive individual and public assistance from FEMA.
As in the counties that, you know, he is responsible for, Escambia, Santa Rosa, Okaloosa, some of Walton. I know District 1 congressionally includes Walton. I can't remember if District 1 for the Senate includes Walton, but in any case, all of us here in the Western Panhandle, no impact, and other counties as well elsewhere. And why should we have to basically have these restrictions when the purpose of having the restrictions did not apply to us at all?
Simply, Mr. Chairman, the bill before you restores normal land use authority and flexibility to counties unaffected by the storms while keeping all of Senate Bill 180's protections in place for areas that sustain damage and require rebuilding. And that is the bill.
Yeah, so that went through easy 8-0 vote, no problem. First committee, it has two more committees to go. There's another bill by Senator Sigley that's related to revisions to 180. There's some negotiation between the Senate and the House over the particulars here. I would hope and maybe expect, fingers crossed, that this basic idea would pass all the way through and get signed by the governor. But I feel like, you know, playing governmental roulette these days, you never quite know what to expect for sure. 614 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You heard David mention that Project MAVE got its first round of approval. The $76 million funding from the Triumph Gulf Coast money, that's BP oil spill money, the $1.5 billion out of the $2 billion total that was kept in the panhandle. And whenever I listen to people talk about this, you do still hear the concern slash fear slash worry that Triumph Gulf Coast will eventually not have all of its money that, you know, other parts of Florida have their greedy little eyes on more than just the $500 million. Of course, they're making a lot of money in interest as money has not been dispersed out of the money that as it has come in. But this is a huge project. 2,000 jobs potentially at the port, you know, if it winds up being fully built out, which there's no reason to think that it wouldn't be. It's a shipbuilding project, so it fits in with, you know, trying to renovate our shipbuilding capacity here in the United States. And, you know, as the mayor mentioned yesterday, it's one of, you know, the Trump administration's kind of, you know, first big project potentially to satisfy that goal. Also, it is a much bigger spend by the company that was announced yesterday rather than by anybody else. So they're spending, what was the number? I just had it in front of me, and where did it go now? $275 million total project cost. So they're spending like, you know, almost like 200 kind of million vicinity is what they're going to spend. Burdon is the company. So massive, expensive project, big infrastructure. It's a facility 400,000 square feet in size. That's similar. That's actually, I think, a little bit bigger than the brand new Buffalo Rock facility that opened up in Santa Rosa County. So this is a huge thing at the port, assuming that it actually comes through. There's a $14 million request pending to the Florida Department of Commerce as well. But yeah, a lot of money is going to be spent on this. And here's the thing. No local money is being spent on this. That's wild. We're going to own the facility. They're going to lease it, long-term lease. But the city of Pensacola, Escambia County, isn't spending any money directly. I mean, obviously, it's our money to be spent from, you know, Triumph is our money, but it didn't get generated by you, and money that comes from the Department of Commerce is tax money, so that comes from us to some degree, but none of this money is coming, you know, out of your, for example, ad valorem taxes in Escambia or Santa Rosa County. 616 on News Radio 92.3, PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Traffic's brought to you by Princeton Grove Apartments. Princeton Grove Apartments is new affordable housing community in Crestview. Introductory rates and no application fee. Resort-style living awaits Princeton Grove Apartments in Crestview. I-10 and 110 are both looking good at this hour. Not showing any slowdowns. Pine Forest or Car City. The front gate of NES Pensacola backed up to Inner Bay. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you're thinking about selling a home or buying a home or, you know, I don't know, acquiring a vacation rental that you'd like to own or a long-term rental, or, you know, you're just moving, downsizing, upsizing, you know, growing a family, shedding family because, you know, empty nesters or whatever. You want to live on the beach? You want to live in town? You know, everybody moves for different reasons. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they'll take care of you for that. And, you know, I always think that, I mean, I know Christina, so I know why she's so effective. In fact, when she started doing real estate several years ago, a lot of us who knew her thought, well, if anybody can, you can. But you never know. I mean, smart people go into real estate and it doesn't work out for them. But she's smart. She's personable. She's like, she would, I think, endorse this way of saying, she's addicted to learning more and more and more about her industry. She loves to talk about real estate and to learn about real estate and to solve problems she's never solved before. So that's why that passion for excellence and doing all the little things and doing them the right way is why she and her team sold 209 homes last year, like four homes a week. It's crazy how many homes they sell. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Welcome back to Winter Hack Radio, the place for clever hacks to survive the season. Icy driveway? Well, try spreading sand or birdseed to help with traction. Snowy puppy paws? Well, grab a whisk, brush it off, done. Catch COVID-19? Well, just get...
Actually, there's no hack for COVID-19. But if you test positive, prescription medications for COVID exist. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Saturday, enjoy Mardi Gras in Milton with the 8th annual Crew of Airship Pirates Mardi Gras Parade. The beads start to fly at 3 o'clock. The 5th annual Pas de Gras event will be Sunday from 11 till 4 on the closed-down Garden Street between Tarragona and Palafox. Enjoy the parade, costume contests, vendors, and fun. Find out more at visitpensacola.com. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
You ever wish someone would just ask the follow-up question?
Hugh Hewitt, weekdays 2 to 4 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Morning, 619 on News Radio 92.3. That kind of sounds like a summer song, that Jason Mraz song, a little bit. So I'm going to play it now when it's cold and make us think about better times. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The federal agents involved in the Minneapolis shootings of Alex Preddy and Renee Good have now been placed on administrative leave. The Department of Homeland Security said that's part of their standard protocol. The president says he expects an honorable and honest investigation into the shooting of Preddy.
It seemed to me like that was a new thing, that they had been placed on administrative leave instead of having had that done immediately after the incident. Do you read it differently? Because that's normal to go on, even for the people who didn't pull the trigger, for them potentially to put them on administrative leave. But anyway,
it seems like nothing was said about them being placed on leave until now.
Right. And so, honestly, that should have been in the first press conference. You know, for all the things they have done wrong, that's yet another thing that the administration, particularly Covino, have done wrong, is that's the first thing you say is they're on administrative leave, because that's whatever, that's right, standard. That's normal.
That's been standard procedure at every law enforcement agency I've ever heard of.
But, and it addresses the fear that people who have done something wrong are still allowed to carry and be involved in law enforcement actions and might be a threat because they might make subsequent bad decisions. Even if it turns out they didn't make a bad decision, that's why you do it as a precaution.
Absolutely. Well, the East Coast in for another major winter storm this weekend, Andrew. Forecasters say a big nor'easter could intensify into a—boy, I love weather anymore because we get all these crazy
What do you got now?
A bomb cyclone now.
Yeah.
We've used that one before, but it's still—
That's very exciting, the way weather is innovating for better emotional effect these days.
It really is. So it's a bomb cyclone that's going to hit this weekend.
Are you sure it's not a polar vortex?
No, we already had the polar vortex.
Okay, so now we've moved on. Is bomb cyclone worse or better than a polar vortex?
Well, it's different, I think. Right? The bomb cyclone's a lot of snow. The polar vortex
What's the
is
other
just
one
cold,
that,
right?
The cold dome or whatever. What, isn't there another one like that, too? Anyway, go on.
The doom dome.
The doom dome. I like that. That's good. Doom dome, level 4.
The Tesla factory in Fremont, California will no longer be producing Tesla Model X and Model X electric vehicles. Elon Musk has announced he's converting that over to make Optimus robots. I'm not sure which one's the Optimus is. Is that the dog robots or is that the...
I don't know. Just all of this stuff. So I guess the cars aren't sexy anymore.
Apparently not.
Because that's
apparently
what the letters for the models of Tesla spell.
Yeah, it's must be all about the Cybertruck now.
There you go.
I see those everywhere. The Cybertruck.
What was the name of the robot? What was the name of it?
The Optimus. Optimus.
I'm looking.
The leader of the robots.
I feel
What's
like
that?
Maybe that's the
leader of the robots.
The leader of the robots.
Maybe that's
okay.
The humanoid.
That's a humanoid
robot.
One. Yeah. Okay. That's the. Oh, that's a super creepy looking robot. Outstanding. Yeah.
Can't wait
to
have more of those roaming.
No, absolutely. I mean, they're probably making those to drive the other cars that they're keeping in production.
You're gonna have the Optimus robots driving the Waymos.
Yeah. Or maybe not driving, but pretending. you know, like in The Running Man where, you know, the Johnny on the spot, where he just kind of pretends to drive or whatever, you know, just to give you the comfort of seeing a human in the front of your windshield or whatever.
I'll drive the bumblebee.
There you go. Oh, nice. I see what you did there. See, it's a little crossover of genres. That's good. I like that. David, anything else? I'm sorry. I interrupted you like four times.
You know, I think that's enough.
Okay. All right. You know, actually, this is kind of funny. I had somebody text in yesterday or the day before, I think it was yesterday, and said, Andrew, you need to stop interrupting David so often. And I'm like, well, but why? They said, because it's rude. And I'm like, well, I mean, I know that part, but that's how I engage in conversation. I mean, you and I have talked
like
in real life.
Yeah.
I mean, not just on the radio. And do I interrupt you in real life?
All the time.
Same thing. Yeah,
yeah,
it's perfectly.
I could never get a thought out. Yeah. It's great.
It's distracting to me, and it's kind of triggering is what I think she might have been a guy. I don't know. Actually said it's kind of triggering, and I'm like, well, why? I mean, tell me more. I want to understand. And says, because I'm trying to follow the person's train of thought, and then you interrupt. And I say, actually, usually when I interrupt, especially for an interview, it's because I have a question, and the question will nag me if I don't ask it. And I figure if I have the question, other people have the question, and I want to get an answer before we forget. And
well,
if I don't say it, I will forget.
Trust me, if it's me trying to put a thought together, the more Andrew you have, the better off we're all going to be. That's for sure.
No, but it's a good question. You know, whether interrupting is rude or a sign of participation. Because I was actually reading a thing on Psychology Today yesterday, I think it was saying that, you know, people who think fast interrupt because they're participating. They're engaging in the conversation and, you know, tracking the train of thought so well that we're trying to, is it going here? Is it going there? We don't want to take a false off ramp or whatever. So anyway, just different perspectives of the same thing is kind of what makes humans interesting. David, do you want to interrupt me before we go?
No, I'm good.
All right. Thanks. 6:20. Oh, I also explained to her that, I know it might seem weird, but the purpose of having David do the news in the middle of the show, as opposed to bottom and top of the hour at 7 o'clock and 7:30, is specifically the original idea was that David would tell a story and then I might have a reaction to it. So it was supposed to be that way. This is a weird apology. All right, David, thank you so much for the update and for always putting up with me. I appreciate it. PJ's got traffic on the fives. PJ?
I-10 and 110 are both looking good. Not showing any slowdowns, Pine Forest or Carr City. Gulf Beach Highway, not showing any delays. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Oh, somebody asks about the stuff that was thrown at or whatever, Ilhan Omar, and, you know, thinking that they've read some reports that it was just apple cider vinegar and so therefore harmless. And what I said is, this is what I would say. I don't know what the substance was. I don't think anybody's quite sure. It hasn't been released yet. And if it has, I apologize. I think it's probably something that was non-caustic. Probably not harmful. None of that makes it okay. Even if it was just water, it still constitutes battery or assault. I mean, assault would be the threat and battery would be the actual touching, if it did actually touch her. But so I don't know the answer yet. And obviously, I mean, it could theoretically be something that would contain a contagious element or some kind of a poison that would not affect her until later. I mean, who knows? There's all kinds of possibilities. But it almost doesn't matter what was in it. I mean, the effect on her matters, the level of intent to harm matters, but, you know, throwing a thing at other people, whether it's a completely harmless thing or something else, is still illegal. That's still a crime. 626 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. There was another thing I was going to mention to you. Oh, this I thought was interesting. There's a reform to the minimum wage law in Florida that is advancing, and, you know, we've got the minimum wage coming up in September. It's going to be $15 an hour. Wow. I mean, I think it's 14 now. I mean, it goes up every year, right? That was the original, the way we put that in. The argument is, and I sympathize heavily with this argument, is that employers want to hire people and they do not want to pay them $15 an hour. You say, well, that's so stingy. No. I mean, maybe, but maybe also the employee is not worth not just 15, but if you have to train them and you have to equip them and you have to insure them and you have to pay the employer slice of self-employment or FICA and Social Security. I mean, you know, it's a lot more than just $15 an hour. And if it costs, let's say, and I'm just making up a number, but I think it's in this vicinity, if $15 an hour actually costs the employer more like $23 or $25 an hour, the real question is that employee contributing enough value to the economic endeavor, the business, more than let's say 25, just to be sort of on the safer side, more than $25 an hour. Do they produce $25 an hour worth of value? And if they don't, then no business will hire them because you're losing money to hire them. I mean, the reason somebody puts their investment on the line and starts a business and puts in their time is because they want to make a profit. I don't mean to teach basic capitalism, but that's the idea. And if an employee doesn't offer the reasonable expectation of making you a profit on their labor, let's say because they produce $27 or $28 an hour worth of value, then you don't hire them. So some will, some won't. But of course, some who might make you $40 an hour, they're going to want to charge you $20 an hour, and then that changes the transaction. But minimum wage is the premise that every person is capable of creating, again, whatever that number is, let's say $20 or $25 an hour worth of value, of which you pay them $15. Well, not everybody's capable of that. But more to the point, not everybody's capable of that in the beginning. Some people might be, after 3 to 6 months worth of experience, capable of justifying that wage. They might make you $30 an hour, let's say, of which you pay them $15 after you take off all the other costs that go along with having an employee. But in the beginning, they might make you $10 an hour. I mean, in the beginning, they might be so incompetent that they cost you money, distracting customers or taking away from profitability or botching orders, right? In the beginning, that's entirely possible. But maybe you hire them because you believe in them. So, okay, what about a training wage? What about something that you would pay unskilled workers or lesser skilled workers while you're getting them up to speed so that they can be profitable for you? Well, that's the idea of this HB 221 that's being run by Ryan Chamberlain out of Bellevue. And, you know, the response from the liberals, particularly Anna Eskamani, is how dare you pay people who are struggling to live on $15 an hour? How dare you do that when, you know, that's already not enough and you want to pay them less than that? Well, okay, but why should the employer be obligated for the remedial project of teaching somebody how to be profitable enough so they don't lose money on the investment?
I'm Gianna Gelosi. Border Czar Tom Homan holding a press conference in Minneapolis after meeting with local officials. It comes as new video appears to show Alex Preti in a confrontation with federal agents.
A new video has surfaced showing the 37-year-old Department of Veterans Affairs ICU nurse Alex Preti spitting at federal agents and kicking a government vehicle, resulting in the destruction of the back right taillight. The incident took place 11 days before he was shot and killed by federal agents.
Fox's Matt Finn, president, unveiled a new investment plan for the parents of newborns, starting with a $1,000 contribution from the federal government.
And with every modest contribution, Trump accounts should reach at least $50,000 in value by the time the child turns 18, and could be very substantially more than that.
Families can add up to $5,000 each year. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got a cold start to our day, 28 degrees right now. Of course, we will get our full forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. A Florida House panel has approved a bill that would rename Palm Beach International Airport after President Trump. House Bill 919 is co-sponsored by Republican Representative Meg Weinberger, who says naming airports after former presidents is not new, and she says that Trump has strong ties to Palm Beach County, where he's lived since 2019.
You know, when we think of New York, we think of JFK Airport, we think of Washington, we think of Reagan and Dulles. So Palm Beach is President Trump's hometown. He's been a resident since 2019. And we should be incredibly honored.
And that proposal now heads to the full legislature, where it will face additional debate before any final decision is made. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis says Florida will take part in new federal scholarship tax credits, which are set to begin next year at a private school in Tampa. The governor said the program would allow taxpayers to donate money to approved scholarship organizations with a credit of up to $1,700. The governor says the plan expands options for families, especially in states with fewer school choice programs.
Probably is going to be pretty groundbreaking in states that have not yet gone down the road of school choice.
Families who qualify based on income can use the scholarship funds not only for tuition, but also for school supplies, tutoring, and other education-related costs. The federal tax credit takes effect on January 1st. Now, Flomaton police arrested four people in connection with the theft of a gun safe containing several firearms. Michael Colton Adams, Lindsay Marie Nix, and Danny Lamar McCrory each face 11 counts of felony second-degree theft and one count of third-degree theft. Wendell Irvin Adams is charged with eight counts of receiving stolen property. Police are still looking for a fifth suspect. A project that would make Pensacola a hub for military shipbuilding has cleared a big funding hurdle. The Triumph Gulf Coast Board has given initial approval to a $76 million for Project MAVE. Mayor D.C. Reeves says Pensacola is leading a big national push.
We have an opportunity in the city of Pensacola to have actually one of the first, if not the first, stateside shipbuilding manufacturing initiative put on by this presidential administration. So, you know, we're at the forefront of that initiative of bringing shipbuilding back stateside.
And shipbuilder Burdon America will establish its southeastern headquarters at the port. The 400,000-square-foot facility would produce Navy ship modules, submarine modules, and surface vessels up to 400 feet. The project would create potentially up to 2,000 jobs and become the largest job creation project in Pensacola's history. Hundreds of gun safety advocates gathered at Florida's old state capitol yesterday. They want lawmakers to roll back gun laws, urging lawmakers not to roll back gun laws that were passed after the Parkland school shooting.
Shame on us for saying we can hand out guns to people who don't know how to use them. And when they get mad, they think that's the tool of choice.
Now that is Reverend Russell Meyer with the Florida Council of Churches. Some of the proposed law changes include lowering the age to buy a firearm from 21 to 18, repealing red flag laws, and allowing concealed carry on college campuses. Supporters of the rally say the measures could weaken safeguards. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Good morning, PJ.
Good morning. Traffic's brought to you by Florida West EDA. Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to create high-wage jobs and private capital investment that grow Escambia County's tax base. I-10 and 110 are both looking good right now. If you're on US 98 east and westbound through Navarre, that is flowing smooth. The front gate of NES Pensacola is backed up to Central Avenue. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
And thank you very much, PJ. Now a look at our forecast from Channel 3.
Chilly start to your day today with temperatures warming up this afternoon. Partly cloudy skies near 54 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 42 degrees. Heading into Friday, 40% chance of rain. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies. High near 57. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 24. Looking at very breezy conditions on that Saturday with temperatures staying very cold. 35 degrees for that high. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping into the low 20s. Stay connected. Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 28 degrees. Our next news at 7 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Comcast has topped analyst estimates on adjusted earnings when it reported its fourth quarter financials. However, the cable giant slightly missed Wall Street's expectations for quarterly revenue. Drug makers Roche and Sanofi posted full-year earnings that matched expectations and did little to move either stock, as pharma companies face a patent cliff where existing drugs lose exclusivity. The companies talked up what they have in the pipeline. Southwest Airlines says it expects 2026 profits to surge and forecast capacity of growth of 2-3% compared with 2025. The airline replaced its open seating policy this week after 54 years with assigned seating. Southwest has overhauled its half-century business model with other major changes, like charging for...
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with Izervay, you can
slow it down and get it going slower.
Preservé slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Selling a home is personal, and it can feel overwhelming before you even know where to start. A lot of homeowners are told that if they question the cost of selling, it means they are cutting corners or taking risk. That simply isn't true. Wanting clarity and fairness doesn't make you cheap, it makes you thoughtful. I'm Miriam Rogers with Poppy Properties. I offer a full-service listing for only 1%, saving you thousands. And my easy exit agreement means you're never locked into a relationship that isn't working. You still get professional marketing, photography, negotiation, and guidance from contract to closing. What you get less of is pressure. What you keep more of is your equity. This isn't about doing less. It's about doing what's right for you, your situation, and your future. If you're thinking about selling and want to start with information instead of obligation and learn more about my 1% listing model, visit my website at forsalebymiriam.com. That's forsalebymiriam.com.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
You don't always have time to sit and listen. That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does. Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Council, as you know, this is the second reading of the ordinance for the speed detection systems in the school zones. Council approved the ordinance during the first reading, which was held on December 1st, 2025. As a reminder, during the 23 legislative session, the legislature enacted House Bill 657, titled Enforcement of School Zone Speed Limits. This law allows municipalities to install or contract with it for the installation of systems in school zones to use either radar or LIDAR, which captures a photograph or video of the vehicle going more than 10 miles per hour over the speed limit.
Gulf Breeze Police Chief Rick Hawthorne, they're talking to the Gulf Breeze City Council at their most recent meeting on the second reading for the school speed zone camera program, where people driving more than 11 miles, well, driving 11 or more, you know, more than 10, miles an hour over the speed limit in a school zone, like in Gulf Breeze on Highway 98, it's 20 miles an hour in the speed zone. It's when the kids are present, it's 35 miles an hour most times. So at 31 during school times, you would get a ticket, a $100 ticket in the mail, no points against your license. But the proposal is designed to discourage people from speeding in those areas.
So everyone remembers we're unique with our school zones. We have three schools side by side. So the school zone is active roughly 2.5 hours in the morning and 2.5 hours in the afternoon on a major roadway, main for the south end of Santa Rosa County to get to Pensacola. During the morning hours, the school lights run from 7 to 9:30 a.m. In the afternoon, school lights run from 1:25 to 3:40 p.m.
All right, so you have a 2.5 hour window in the morning, and you have, a 2 hour and 20 minute window or 2 hour and 15 minute window in the afternoon. So you're talking about almost 5 hours of the day where this is applicable. And it is a little bit unusual because most places that have a school zone, it's for a school, whereas in Gulf Breeze, it's for all three schools. And with staggered drop-off and pick-up times, you get a much longer period of time during which you'd have to reduce your speed.
So you can see they're on for a long time during the day. And they are, and with this ordinance, the cameras will still be in effect when school is in session, in between the activation of the school zone lights from 9:30 to 1:25, roughly 4 hours.
And so you're talking about that time in between the times, and it is worth knowing that the plan is to have the speed zone cameras active in the in between as well. The reason, not at 31 though, it would be at 46 because that's, you know, 11 over the 35, but they would still be active so throughout the entire school day, because even though the kids aren't as, you know, many coming and going, buses, bikes, walking, they're still around and there's enough activity with kids that they think that it's worth doing even in between the school zone enforcement times.
And during the off time, not when the lights are on, we still have a lot of traffic in and out of three schools. You know, kids late to school, dentist appointments, doctor's appointments, going and bringing them their lunch, every other thing that goes on, early release for some of the students. So we have a lot of traffic in and out of there all day.
And the idea is, you know, if there may not be as many students, which is why you don't have it at 20, but still at 35, you don't want people going through there at 50 or 60, even if they're stopping for the red lights. You don't want them going 50 or 60 in between.
One of the biggest complaints I get is speeding in the school zones. I said this last time, and I'll say it again, even for my wife, and it still continues. We do our best, but we cannot always have someone in the school zone for 2.5 hours in the morning and the afternoon.
Yeah, there just aren't enough police officers to put one. And even if you have just one, you know, how many people speed through that area? It's actually a lot. The numbers are kind of staggering when you look at them. We'll come back to this in just a second. PJ has got traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 are both looking good. 9 miles accident-free, not showing any delays in Carr City. Highway 90, clear from Milton to Pace. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you have a kid who's struggling with math, or just a kid who you want them to do better at math, you know, a lot of times think about Mathnasium as a place where you go if, you know, things aren't going so well. They get some clients, some students who come in who actually do quite well and they want to be able to do better, you know, like the way you might get a coach for getting better at baseball or tennis or football. They're a coach for math, and they can help you do even better. It's kind of because they are very, very good at this. In fact, one of the things that they focus on is figuring out what particular skills or what particular comprehensions are not what they should be for grade level or how they can be even better, and then targeting those and working on those. And they're just really good at it. I'm a big believer in the Mathnasium program. I know the owners are close, dear friends of ours, and my son actually taught at Mathnasium for a year, so we are absolutely believers in the program. 94% of parents report an improvement in their child's math skills and understanding. 93% of parents report an improved attitude, and 90% say they have better grades. And I know a lot of times as a parent, you're frustrated because you want to help, but maybe they teach it differently. Or, you know, you've seen the kid thriving before, and then all of a sudden, you know, they hit algebra, or they hit geometry, or they hit a teacher they don't get along with, and all of a sudden, and it cascades, right? Because you do bad in math 1 year, it doesn't get better the next year necessarily. So go to Mathnasium. The assessment is completely free just to find out what's going on and, you know, what elements of, you know, what they're missing basically in their toolkit. Totally free to have that done. They take step up money, so you know there's state tutoring money available to, you know, supplement or maybe pay for. It just depends. So talk to them, find out what's going on. Mathnasium's located next to Marshall's in the Fresh Market Shopping Center at 9th and Airport. All right, back to the school speed cameras that Gulf Breeze is looking at doing. This is Chief Rick Hawthorne on second reading. So if they pass it, it goes into law. That doesn't mean it would take effect immediately. I mean, it's going to take a little while to roll all of this out. But, you know, I think if I remember correctly, the goal was to have it by school year next fall. I could be wrong on that. Don't quote me. I'm not doing like a news radio program. I love when I say it on the radio. Don't quote me. Well, you know, I'm trying to tell you what I think I know, and also I'm not certain about it. But listen to these numbers, the volume of traffic and the number of speed citations, 11 over, if the cameras were active.
The westbound lanes for that day, there was a total of just over 4,600 vehicles that went through the school zone that day, from the time frame from 7 till 3:30. With 488 violations. that was doing 11 miles or better.
That means there were a couple of days they studied, but in the morning, okay, going towards Pensacola, primarily westbound traffic, but also I'm sure some eastbound, you've got 4,600 cars go through and 488 violations. That's 10% of cars are traveling 31 or more in a school zone. Oh my God. Like, even if you stationed cops there, how many cops would it take? You know, if one ticket quickly takes you 15 minutes, you'd have to have like 20 cops just there in the morning. And that would be ignoring everything else that's going on in the city. In the afternoon, coming home?
On the afternoon, there was a total number of 7,337 going through that school zone. With 296 violations.
Okay, so more in the, like, a little bit less than 5%, 4%, something like that. So a much less frequent violation. My suspicion, I thought the numbers were fascinating on their own. There's far more cars going through in the afternoon than in the morning. I suspect that's because people are like, already at work, maybe. I'm not, you know, I'd have to think about the times and all. But also could be that, you know, people are rushing to get to work. They're not so much rushing to get home. You know, they've had their day. They're just relaxed. But in any case, in the afternoon, it's still at 5%, and the volume is still quite high, almost 300. So you're talking almost 800 violations in a day. 800 times in a day. People are going 11 miles an hour or more over. What can we do about that problem and the risk that it carries to our kids?
Talking with a vendor in their report to us, they state that there's a 50% reduction once the program starts. That still right now would be 385 violations a day. They said there's even as the longer it's there and everyone becomes more aware of it and really understands that something can happen to them, the reduction goes to about 70%. But he also told me over the phone that they're actually starting to see some larger numbers than that. Around 75%.
So instead of 800 violations a day, you drop to 400, maybe eventually to something like 200 would be, I mean, not ideal. 200 a day is not ideal, but at least that's fewer, substantially fewer, because people don't want to pay $100 to be able to speed. You know, that's the cost of it, right?
So theoretically, only when the school is in, even in the, when a school zone's on, when it's off, it's still being checked. For the 10 miles per hour over the normal speed limit.
Correct.
When it's not in the school zone speed limit.
Yeah.
And then when school is out and complete, between that time and the next morning, is it nothing?
Nothing. Yeah. So it'll be, you know, when the lights are activated, it'll be the speed limit is 20 miles an hour.
And it's,
so if you're doing 31 or better, you'll get a violation notice. Right. During that in-between time, mid-afternoon, mid-morning, late morning, early afternoon, when it's off, the speed limit's normal 35, so you'd have to be doing 46 to get a violation.
So for 2.5 hours in the morning, it'll be operational when school zones start, and you'll get a ticket at 31 or more. In the middle of the day, when the school zone itself is not operational, at 46 you'll get a ticket because kids are still there, though not in as many numbers, out in the street or in the vicinity. And then in the afternoon during the school speed zone time at 20, you'll get a ticket again for 31 or more. And then after school and until the next morning, it's not operational at all. That's by statute. It's not able to be operated because we're not talking about generally putting in speed zone cameras everywhere. It's just in school zones. And so that's the only justification for it. They voted 4-0 to pass it. I don't remember who was missing in the meeting, but 4-0, they passed it. So this will be happening. Also of note, the money that is gained from this, and a lot of the money goes to the company, some of the money goes to the state, the city only gets like, I think it's 20% of the money. They get like $20 per, which is still not, you know, I mean, that's not nothing. If you're talking about 400 or 800 tickets a day, you're talking about a substantial amount of money. But that money can only be used for public safety. In fact, one of the other programs they're working on is the gun detection canine in Gulf Breeze, and it's actually partially privately funded money, but also, you know, speed camera money, not yet, but red light camera money, you know, is the thing that can fund those kinds of programs. So, you know, it's only able to be used in those ways. It's not like Gulf Breeze is able to use that for all kinds of things. 6:52 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. If you're thinking about avoiding the speed zone camera with a car that maybe doesn't go as fast because it's too much of a temptation for you, but in any case, you need to get that next vehicle, or maybe you want one that's faster. You just don't drive it that way in Gulf Breeze or anywhere by a school. Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars that are a year, two, three, maybe 4 years young, low miles, 10 to maybe 30 or 40,000 miles. miles. That's their sweet spot. You know, they don't have a lot of cars that are in the 7-8 range, you know, and certainly not more than that. I mean, they just, the cars a lot of times you go to, you know, get super big discounts on because they're older. That's not what they specialize in. They specialize in cars that are in good condition and you're going to be the second or third owner. And then you can drive it for a long time, which is why they warranty all their cars, including the price. That's not extra. For 10 years or 100,000 miles. Also, they would just want to take care of you. They want you to feel so well treated as a customer that you want to come back next time, the time after that, for all the cars you ever want to buy. I know that's how I feel about Frontier is, you know, we bought one car and I'm like, I'm in forever. I love the way you treat people. I love your philosophy, the way you take care of us, and, you know, good prices for good cars. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Add more road to your trip with the new 2026 Subaru Crosstrek or Forester Hybrid. Our new hybrids will keep you going no matter where the road goes. With up to 597 miles per tank, the Crosstrek Hybrid easily takes you to more places. And the Forester Hybrid sports a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank. Mileage like that lets you journey farther. And combined with Subaru's legendary capability of standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, you'll be able to handle any unexpected conditions and terrain with ease. Paved roads, gravel roads, just about any road, they're all fair game in the new 2026 Subaru Hybrid. Better fuel economy, legendary reliability, you'll find both in the Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid and Subaru Forester Hybrid. Love goes the extra mile at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
The average checking account pays less than a tenth of a percent. PenAir Credit Union's high-yield checking, 5.05% APY. That's more than most savings accounts. And 70 times more than any old checking account. Make every deposit count. Learn more at penair.org/checking. Federally insured by NCUA, PenAir's high-yield checking account pays up to 5.05% annual percentage yield with e-statements and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more.
There's a parade somewhere
you probably want to know about.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
PJ, I'm going to test your Gen X credentials. You ready?
Oh, my goodness.
When you're playing Donkey Kong, are you a grab the hammer and destroy the barrels or finish the maze as quickly as possible?
Finish as quickly as possible.
Yeah, same. So, there you go. All right. You passed. Good one. All right. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 are both looking good right now. US 98 eastbound from about Janus Street to Rosewood, starting to see some minor congestion. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Levels, not points, baby. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
He expects him.
No, we'll get back to David in just a second. He's doing news for somebody else. Which, by the way, you know what I've seen lately a lot on social media? And I'm in some of these sort of Gen X groups that there's all kinds of stuff in there. But the quarters up on the screen as the I'm next in line, you know, just like you would do at a bar. And a lot of bar pool tables will have the little holders. Like, we're not capable enough, although on a bar table they kind of slide off. But I don't know. We just all figured it out. You got 10 kids sitting around a game of Defender watching somebody play, and there's 10 quarters up on the, you know, and that's my quarter. No, that's my quarter. What year was it? What's the mint mark? No, you never had these conversations because everybody knew. It was fine. We figured it out. All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The federal agents involved in the Minneapolis shootings of Alex Preti and Renee Good are now on administrative leave. The Department of Homeland Security says that is part of their standard protocol. President Trump does say he expects an honorable and honest investigation into the shooting of Preti. Looks like another big winter storm is hitting the East Coast this weekend. Forecasters say a nor'easter could intensify into a bomb cyclone.
Stop it. Come on.
A doom dome is going to be over the East Coast. So there's that.
Here's our and, procedure. Wait a minute, Chief. Isn't this top security? Well, shouldn't we activate the cone of silence?
The cone of doom silence. Go on.
I like it. Bruce Springsteen has now written a protest song against ICE. The Rock and Roll Hall of Famer released a song called Streets of Minneapolis yesterday, and it's in response to, of course, all of the ICE incidents that have happened over the last several weeks.
Have you listened to it?
I have not.
Me either.
It is not in my Spotify top playlist, which says that I am 175 years old.
Well, you're just about old enough to listen to Bruce Springsteen then.
Almost.
Almost. All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 658 News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? Oh, this is one of those, I don't know whether this really is going to matter much yet. It seems a little too late, a little too slow, but there is actually a bill working in Tallahassee that would study the question of what should we do about all these damn e-bikes. That's my view. It's not what the bill says. I think you get more traction if that's what you called it. But yeah, the idea is to not implement any particular regulations. But it's data collection first. It's going to establish an electric bicycle task force, or EBTF, as the letters on the jacket would say. Who are you? I'm with the EBTF. Is that a three-letter acronym? Do you wear like the blue shirt with the yellow letters on the back? I'm here with the EBTF, just finding out what people are doing wrong. The panel would collect data on e-bike and e-scooter accidents, providing recommendations on enforcement, and submitting a report this fall to the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles. And then, maybe, we'd have something done. The bill also includes things like requiring e-bikes to have an audible warning alert, you know, a horn or a bell or a brrrr, you know, something to let people know you're coming, and that you need to sound it when you get within slow to 10 miles an hour when approaching pedestrians. Well, that's what happens now. Everybody's so courteous all the time. My question is, I don't know whether e-bikes should be allowed on streets or on paths. That's my question.
You're listening to News Radio.